I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, here we are on a Wednesday, the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how you feeling, brother?
Brother Spike, I'm doing pretty good. Happy Wednesday. I mean, listen, doesn't hold the same weight as it once did, but there are some of us to still celebrate it. Shout out to the LTBB, Jackie Baseball. I mean, listen. This thing with Schwarber, each and every day seems like he's moving further away from wearing the red pinstripes in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Just saying.
Get it.
Holla at your boy.
I actually disagree.
Really?
He's going to be back.
Yeah, of course.
This is what you woke up with today.
Yeah. Well, that's not what I woke up with today. But it is what I woke up with today. Got it! Anyway, hold on. Spike, you didn't sound too excited when you said, and Fritz. Like, it sounded like you were like, and there's Jack. You need to pick that back up a little bit. Like, let's
WIP
thank
afternoon.
You.
Well, I feel like I've picked it up generally during the show. I say your name louder
That's right.
than I used to.
They don't have it tailing off leading into break.
Ike, Spike, and Fritz!
Bang!
There it is.
There we go. Yeah.
It's a big show. It's a big show today. At 3 o'clock, we're going to take a bit of a breather from all this Eagles nonsense and talk about whether Cole Hamels has a real chance of getting into the Hall of Fame. Going to have a guy named John Foley on who wrote a thing that I didn't think Cole Hamels in the Hall of Fame was a real thing, but it seems like it might be. So we'll talk about that at 3. Broge joins us at 3:30 for Flyers and 50. Baldy joins us at 4. And, of course, the newest edition of Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings at 4:30. May have a new number one. We may all have right. a new number one. All right. So start off with the Eagles. So
yes.
Got to take a break from the Jalen stuff.
Let's get back to the Eagles.
Yeah, for just 1 second. So last year, I became a full-fledged convert of the Nick Sirianni cult, right? I think I was most impressed. There were three things that impressed me the most about Sirianni. One, their ability to bounce back from adversity. They seemed, every turn of adversity, it seemed like they looked it right in the face and they got better from it. I also started believing in the culture CEO thing. It seemed like a big job, and the idea that he could just concentrate on that while having his hand on in everything, I think, like, I bought that as well. And I also bought the culture thing, that he was, it was hearing the players repeating the things that he was saying and sort of living up to it, right? And all of the questions that I had about Nick, I also was really impressed with his ability to learn from his past mistakes. It seemed like he grew a lot in the first 4 years of being a head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. I would say this year has shaken my confidence in Nick as the head coach. I don't put everything on him, and it's not like I don't see a future of him as a head coach, but I think this year, all of the things that I was so confident in last year, I've been shaken this year. From a culture standpoint, it does. This year has felt off for several weeks. Mm-hmm. All the leaks have not, on top of the AJ thing, which I thought was handled just the wrong way. It wasn't handled sternly enough. It wasn't shut down quick enough. And it led to the other leaks that in some way have contributed to this season sort of unraveling. From an accountability standpoint, like, his three things are tough, detailed, and together. They have the fifth most penalties in the NFL. That's not detailed. You know, we look at the offense of not everybody not knowing where they're supposed to be. That's not detailed. They haven't felt together. And I can tell you on Friday, they didn't feel tough at all. And then from the CEO head coach standpoint, I'd gotten to a point where I thought it was an advantage to have the head coach be the offensive coordinator, but I didn't think we needed it. But here we are, 12 games into the season, and there's an argument about the offensive coordinator because the offense doesn't look great or whatever. And it just seems like every year, if we have a successful offense, we're going to have to restart that again with another offensive coordinator. And if we don't have a successful offense, we're not really going to have any solutions because that's not the head coach. So I like Nick. I want to believe in Nick. I would say that this year has shaken my confidence in Nick that I had coming into this season.
Yeah, I think what they are learning right now is the difficulty of what it's like to meet the expectation of being a champion, mm-hmm. right? You know, last year wasn't necessarily the expectation of being a champion until it was much later in the year. Last year was more the expectation of 2023 isn't who we truly are. Let's get back to being who we truly believe ourselves to be. And that led to a championship. Things lined up perfectly. Saquon was a godsend. The fact that he stayed healthy with the amount of touches he had last year. The fact that they were still able to be an effective offense with really being a one-dimensional offense for the most part of last year.
One of the most one-dimensional offenses we've ever seen here. Yeah.
But your defense came together much quicker than we all anticipated under Vic Fangio in his first year. And this year, you know, I've been thinking about what has ailed this team more than anything this year. And there are some injuries here and there, particularly on the offensive line. Listen, I don't even know if Jalen Carter is completely healthy. He's had shoulder issues he's been dealing with. They got banged up in Dallas. I say this to say, I don't think any differently about Nick Sirianni as the head coach this year than I've thought about him any other year. And here's why. I think he's the same guy, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I mean, I think he approaches this thing the way that he sort of sees it fit and best suited to do. He is more of a connected coach with his players. All those things are there. But there's something to having success and having attained success from a human nature standpoint. Do you have the same desire and hunger to attain and achieve the success at the highest level again? That's not a question that I have about Nick Sirianni as a coach. He's not taking shortcuts. He's not practice isn't over with earlier. He isn't taking it light on guys. They still had a hard training camp. They practiced hard. They still put on pads. All the things he's normally done. He's preaching messages about togetherness, overcoming adversity, all of those things that worked with his players that they received last year when they had something to prove. Our biggest issue this year is complacency.
But isn't that on him?
It's on him to overcome it.
Right.
And I agree, but I don't blame him for complacency being there. Today's athletes are different.
Mm-hmm.
How hard can he be with these guys? Right? So you can't do some of the things other coaches have done in the past to sort of keep guys in line. He's trying all these same things, the same messaging that he's used in the past, and maybe even trying to give it to him a different way. But ultimately, the principles of what he's saying remains the same. And this is more or less about the players buying into it. And agree, again, you're right. He's ultimately responsible for that. He is. That's
his job.
That's part of the job as a head coach.
It definitely give him credit when it works.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And I totally understand that. So he's not absolved from it. I'm just saying I haven't lost any confidence in him from that standpoint. I am disappointed that I don't think the players are as locked in and tuned in to winning a championship this year and proving people wrong the way they were last year. If anything, they are distracted by other things.
215-592-9494. Has this year shaken your confidence in Nick Sirianni? Let me ask you, the one thing you didn't talk about there. How much of the head coach not being the offensive coordinator thing do you think about this year, given the circumstances? And again, this is moving forward.
Again, it doesn't change for me.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't change for me. And this is where it's going to fall back maybe a little bit more on Howie this offseason. Let's be honest. Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are sort of judged and looked at the same.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse.
That they're a product of their talent around them.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. is the talent around them doing what they normally do, which allows Nick and Jalen to be who they have been. We attained the success with them this way, expecting it to be different. In other words, just like I don't expect Jalen all of a sudden become this pocket passing, anticipatory thrower and over the middle and all this other stuff that we long for at times, I don't expect that to change. I don't expect Nick to all of a sudden become a play caller and understand how to call plays and all the other stuff. Like, this is what he's been good at and best at. They are going to have to figure out a way to get the right coordinator in position to get the offense back on track. And then maybe there's some things that maybe need to be tweaked personnel-wise that changes the dynamic in the locker room. Or here's the third thing, which is probably the most likely thing. This is a talented enough roster that this is just a Super Bowl hangover.
Yes, I think it's possible.
And maybe a season like this snaps everybody back to where they were in 2024, and everybody comes in next year with a different frame of mind and hunger and everything else. This is a talented roster. I can't sit here and say, Howie, you need to go change the roster, make over the roster. You got great young talent over there ready to be tapped into, and you got guys on offense that are literally in the prime of their career, not past the prime. We'll find out about Saquon. I think there's still enough juice in that orange that you can squeeze a year or two out of Saquon. He'll bounce back next year. The talent part of it is not as big of a question for me. It's what the motivation is, the focus is, and whether or not they're receiving the message.
Yeah, I think, and to be clear, I'm not even sure that Kevin Petullo is not a good offensive coordinator.
Right. I don't even blame him.
No, I think for me, it's more the idea that there will be this, you know, what's the door that spins around?
Revolving door
of offensive coordinators. You got it right, Jack. Thank you.
Yeah, take that.
That there will be and in the NFL in 2025, the good offensive coordinators just get snapped up.
Yeah.
You know, they do. And that's what's going to happen. So and it really is, even if the Eagles offense was awesome this year, Petullo
would be in line for a head coaching job.
Would be in line for a head coach. So we'd have to do this thing all over again. So, yep. All right, 215-592-9494. Has this year shaken your confidence in Nick Sirianni? We do have next question today because we felt like we might want to have a little bit of fun today because everybody's so mad all the time.
So uptight. Unclench your butt cheeks.
Yes. So it is Brendan Fraser's birthday. So for next question day, we will ask you your sports question. And then next question will be, give us somebody who's big in the 90s. Jack, why don't you start?
Yeah, listen.
Who's barely even alive in the 90s, but who is big in the 90s?
And who cares if we do this once a month?
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk about the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So I'm going...
In some form or fashion, yes.
Now, I think around this time, this guy who dominated the 90s is actually a bigger deal than Mariah Carey.
Huh?
And that is Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin did have a big 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weak.
It's Home Alone.
As weak.
It's Home Alone.
Yeah, two movies.
Yeah. They were huge.
That's dominating the 90s?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Home Alone still played this thing.
He had three.
What else he had?
Home Alone, Home Alone 2, My Girl.
My Girl. I don't know if I remember that
one. Oh, is that the one with the...
You can spoil it. Doesn't she die?
She dies.
She
right,
dies.
And they're kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, it was a big movie.
A little sad movie.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
My Girl. Who was the girl? Who was
I have no idea.
I don't know. They're kids.
Child started. Well, yeah. Well, he obviously was a star. She didn't turn into it. It wasn't Drew Maybe, Barrymore. Like,
no,
I don't know.
It wasn't anybody that I remember.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know she was a child star until like recently. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know she was in E.T.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. That one didn't click. And it was Christina Applegate in something as a kid?
She was in Married to Children.
Yeah, that was her first
big
thing.
Nice.
Christina all right.
Applegate.
Dude, Macaulay Culkin's a big answer.
Yeah, all right. All right. Who's bigger than the 90s?
Big in the 90s for me, you know what? Because the 90s, walk with me here for a minute.
Okay.
Listen, the 90s was big for chocolate. And you know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
Herb knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, so the brothers, man, so us chocolate brothers, we were big because the 80s were a lot of, you know, fair-skinned, light-skinned guys with the Jared curls, the good hair and all of that, man, that nonsense with Prince and Michael Jackson in the 90s, in the 80s. In the 90s, we took over.
Okay.
And one of the guys that were at the leader, he was one of the leaders of the guys in the
90s. I know where you're going.
You think you know where I'm going?
Yeah.
I'm going with Wesley Snipes.
That's what I knew you were going
Wesley, man. I'm going Wesley Snipes, man. Big in the 90s, man.
That was, I mean, he was.
Big in the 90s.
Yeah, and he was also what you're saying.
Listen, Jordan, shout out to the GOAT. Jordan opened the door for us all.
Yeah.
Especially the bald head brothers. He opened the door for us all.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes,
then Wesley
New Jack
and everybody
City
else walked through the door. Yeah, yeah, man. So, I got to go with Wesley, man.
All right. So, I think I'm going with the exact opposite of Wesley Snipes. Meg Ryan. Ryan was
Sleepless in Seattle.
You've Got Mail.
You Got Mail, yeah.
Meg Ryan was one of the it actresses in the 90s. Yeah. There were a few, and she was one of them. So so that is next question today. Give us someone who was big in the 90s. And the main thing today, as we do keep the main thing.
We love
the, main
the 90s.
Thing.
Come on, come on, Fritz. Let's be honest. The 90s is the best decade.
I wish I was still. It's, I wish I could have experienced it.
Terrible for clothing, but
it was all right. Better than the 80s.
By the way, Macaulay Culkin died in My Girl. He got sung by the Bees.
He died, right.
Yeah.
And who was the girl? Do we know who it was?
No.
Okay, all right. 215-592-9494. Has this season shaken your confidence in Nick Sirianni? And next question today, give us someone who was big in the 90s. Corey in Columbus leads us off as always. Corey, you're on WIP.
I'm glad you corrected it because I was about to jump on y'all and say it.
Well, we always have to get one pop culture thing wrong in the first hour of the show. So we check that box.
So that's a great question today. Has my confidence waned in Nick Sirianni? I know y'all gonna call me soft. Y'all can call the names six and home. I don't care. This is TBD for me to be determined.
Come on.
Listen,
to be determined
on this show.
Listen, that's what I said. Y'all can call me all the names. Because this is the thing with Nick Sirianni, right? Like, now, if he has another collapse, like, if we go 0-4 for the rest of the season, this dude got to go. But this is the thing, like,
he just won the Super Bowl.
Listen, but hold on. Let me set my table real quick. Because, like, I look at coaches around the league, right?
Yeah.
Like, Dan Campbell, his team, everybody talked about Lions was, preseason favorites. They might miss the playoffs. We got a coach, like, he called plays now, but, like, he wasn't really a play caller. You got Mike Tomlin. I love Mike Tomlin, but let's be real. Mike Tomlin kind of overrated. People always put him as a top 10 coach. He has one Super Bowl in 2008. He went to another one, and he done had A.B., Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben, they was going home in the first round, that talent.
Yeah.
But people still give him credit.
I would say 95% of Steelers fans want Mike Tomlin gone.
At this point, they've had enough.
Dude, Big Ben's thinks he should take the Penn State job. I mean, what are we doing?
But, like, I mean, like, when he, like, now, but, like, let's say, like, 4 or 5 years ago, they was never have a losing record. Yeah, them 8-8 seasons ain't as happy as y'all thought they was. When he was, collecting them.
Right.
So my thing with Nick Sirianni, you've been to two Super Bowls in 5 years. And it's like, I still think, I'm with y'all, I put it more on the players. I don't want to spoil the lead. I don't know if y'all probably going to talk about it later. But, you know, it's like, we sit up here and we watch Hard Knocks last night. And you see,
going to talk about it. Yeah.
And he was like, oh, we worked on this. And Jalen's like, well, I told you. Like, it's like, y'all not communicating. Y'all missing that. Like, it's like small stuff like that, that, like, if you fix that, like, the offense clicks better. Like, it's just, like, small things that we're missing out on. I don't know if it's coaching or if it's just, like, you know, not being on the same page, but it's just starting to pile up. Like, the penalties, I put that on the coach.
That's
like,
on the coach,
you gotta
have
people, you got to have people ready to go.
Yep.
You got to have people, you know, dialed in. But I'm not throwing out no. That's why it's TBD. I'm not getting rid of my coach.
No. But your confidence has been shaken.
Sounds like
The only all these coaches, Dick Vermeil, Andy Reid, Doug Peterson. I got one guy that took me to two Super Bowls. So for all y'all out there that saying Nick Sirianni this, Nick Sirianni that.
Is Corey arguing with himself?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know people will come in here and try to get mad at my coach, diss my coach, like they do my quarterback, and I ain't going to stand for it. You know what I'm saying? We a little rough set. You know what I'm saying? We got a little rough
set. Hey, Corey. Corey. Don't blow it in Indianapolis this weekend. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, you saw what happened today?
I'm just saying.
Did you see what happened today?
No, what happened?
Hartline went to South. We losing Hartline.
Oh, man, the whole thing's going to collapse.
Where's Hartline going?
USF.
South Florida?
Not Penn State.
But it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it, baby. You know, we pump them out here. Hey, A.J. Brown, you playing a little better because I already had your, you know, replacement in line. But, you know, I'm going to pop out on that. But let me give y'all my 90s.
Yeah, who's big in the
90s? I'm going to give y'all Will Smith. You know what I'm saying? Philadelphia
legend. Oh, for sure.
Let me get jiggy with it. Nah, 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 nah,
nah. Nah, 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 nah,
nah. Yeah, Will was TV star and
movie star and musician.
So when did because Independence Day came out when we were in school, right? We were in college when
Independence Day was 90s. 90s.
Yeah.
Yep. Men in Black.
Love Independence Day.
Men in Black was in the 90s.
Men in Black was huge.
And one and two,
by the way.
And look, it was the cornier part of his music career, but he had a hit. The Men in Black song was a hit.
Oh,
Getting Jiggy with It was a hit.
Here comes the Men in Black. Yes, sir.
Wild Wild West was a hit.
Yeah.
Miami.
Welcome to Miami is definitely a hit. Jiggy with It was a hit.
Yeah. He had a big 90s.
It's summertime 80s or 90s?
That is late 80s. Late 80s? I believe summertime is probably like 88.
Still an anthem.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Still an anthem. Now, I'm going to just tell you.
Yeah.
This is for the future.
Okay.
It just popped in my head, though.
Okay.
I'm at the work in.
Some other answers?
Yeah, no. I'm changing the arrangement of music.
Ooh.
And
I like we're doing this on the air.
No, it's not anytime soon.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I got a couple Philly anthem songs I want to put in there.
Okay.
As anthems, Philly's anthem songs.
Okay.
Like they are songs that are identified with the city.
Can I guess? Are you?
Well, I'm working through them. You know what they are.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what they are. The big ones. You know what they are.
You're not putting Ram Squad in there.
No.
Are you? Okay.
Philadelphia Freedom by Elton John?
Yeah.
Ram Squad. That's pretty good.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah, Spike is deep.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
The 90s is the 90s.
That's in the crates there, man.
Yeah. All right. So coming up next, we will talk about Hard Knocks. The Hard Knocks NFC East was last night, so
yes.
We got our first look at it. 2-1-5, 592-9494. Has this season shaken your confidence in Nick Sirianni? Corey spent the first 2 minutes talking about how Nick's got to get fired if they collapse, and then he started arguing with himself, saying nobody's allowed to come to his knee. And next question, they give us someone who is big in the 90s. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is wintertime. You probably have put off. I mean, it's not officially winter, but it's cold as hell out there. It's basically winter. It's December. It's winter. Come on. You haven't replaced your old drafty windows. Maybe there's a door or two you need to replace. You put it off. But thanks to Guida's year-end sale, you're going to get your biggest discounts of the year. Get 40% off every professionally installed window. That is 40% off every energy-efficient triple-pane window. Also, 40% off any door. What kind of door, you ask? Any kind of door, garage door, entry door, patio door, storm door, whatever, 40% off. And you can start your project with no money down, and they're going to let you pay it off without any interest for up to 12 months. So if you need new windows and doors, you go Guida right now. All prior sales are excluded. Offer expires December 31st. Call Guida today to schedule a free in-home estimate at 877-GO-GUIDA or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
We can admit they weren't all great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you push Jack to go too deep into the crates?
I don't know what the hell this came from.
Yeah, this is on me against the world.
Yeah. No.
What is? I don't know what to tell you. It's on the album.
This might be the worst song on that album.
All right.
I don't remember that song at all.
I remember it. I didn't know which album it came from, though. I'm like, this is they weren't all great. It's all good.
What can we do?
2:30 Tupac every day, 5:30 Creed, 3:30 Country on probation.
Nope.
The Twitter quest is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Men's Night in Montgomeryville, Thursday night, December 18th. Ray Diddy will be there signing the Eagles Encyclopedia, food and spirits as well. The Twitter question, has your confidence in Nick Sirianni wavered this year? The question is, yes, it has, or no, it hasn't. What do you think the Twitter replies are at?
I don't know, because Nick hasn't received a ton of criticism this year. He's gotten a little bit.
Yeah, it hasn't been a ton.
But I still believe people, because I think people have always been on the fence with Coach Sirianni.
I agree there as well.
So when things aren't going well, they're easily tilted in that I knew it. So, yeah, I'm slightly in that area, but 58% has lost confidence in him.
You're on a good streak right now. It's 59.2%.
Boom.
Confidence has been shaken.
Yeah.
Which is where I am at. It is sort of like I'm not saying, this ain't it. It's sort of like, but my antenna's up.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of thinking, well, all the stuff that I was worried about, here it is. 215-592-9494. We'll talk about Hard Knocks in a moment. VP, you're on WIP on a Wednesday. Wow, apropos.
Easiest work day for me to call in. But so summertime was 91, so that counted.
Okay.
Oh, right, there you go. Did sneak into the 90s. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. So when Jalen first came to us, I was, you guys, Spike, you weren't there then, and Jack and Ike, I don't know if you remember, but I was very iffy on Jalen for a while. And of course, part of it was all the controversy with Wentz and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
But also, there were two things that I used to rant in my living room about, and it was he wouldn't go through the progressions, and he would bail on a play, in my opinion, too quickly and just take off running way too frequently. And after a couple of years, I was like, all right, he's clearly our quarterback for the near future. I'm in. I went. I bought a jersey. I've been backing him ever since. This season, I'm very superstitious. I've been wearing his jersey every week because this is my way of saying – you can get it back together, Jalen. Mm-hmm. You can do it.
Yeah.
The point is, no. I think Nick, in his press conferences, has been...
So you have not wavered on Nick, essentially, what you're saying.
No, I have not wavered on... I mean, okay. The penalties is ridiculous. But No, I think Nick is trying to tell us, like, it's not us. It's not the offensive line coach. It's not the offensive coordinator. It is the players. He keeps saying, well, we try to plan around what the players can do best, or if we plan something they might not be good at, it doesn't matter what we draw up on paper. And, you know, he just keeps saying these things like, we got to try to find plays that these guys will actually execute. And now that Jalen is not going through his progressions again, now he's the other way around, he won't run at all. Like, I feel like Nick is trying to tell us, look, we're doing everything we can, but it doesn't matter what we draw up if they're not out there executing it.
Well, yeah. I don't know if he's saying that. It certainly seems like sort of the message coming out of the building, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. It you go back and forth on that is his job, but like there is a limit to what you can do as a coach.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like I've done this with the Sixers a lot. Is somebody say, well, I don't like the rotations. I'm like, well, you can only play the players that are there, you know? So, So he can, I agree. I think for me, the questions about Nick are really less about the performance on the field, which I understand. To me, it has felt like a lot of, like, detail has not been there. It does feel like the togetherness or the lack of accountability, the finger
pointing.
The
things he's supposed to be strong, you know, at.
Yes. Haven't shown through. And then the AJ thing is interesting because on one hand, I look back on it, and I've said this a bunch, I think you tell him once, no more. You tell him twice, you send him home, or you sit him for a drive. I also wonder if that is not just Nick's decision. And
for sure.
You know, like if
that
Howie
definitely isn't a
if Howie says to him, we can't do that now, which handcuffs him. Now, if Nick is a head coach that has more pull, then maybe he can pull it off. But in this situation, he can't. So I think you're right to an extent, but I think my questions are a little bit further beyond the actual gameplay, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. But I think Ike made a point earlier that is, this is a different world with professional athletes right now. Like, you know, I own a company and I'm the same way. If you're not a team player, I'm taking you off the team, right? Mm-hmm. We're all here to succeed together, and that's the only way it works. Mm-hmm. But I can do that. I don't know how autonomous, you know, how much autonomy Nick has, or mm-hmm. if it's, they all agree that they just can't do this right now.
Sure.
But yeah, certainly the AJ stuff has been acid. It has been corrosive to the team. And I think that when we talk about Nick's ability to bring everyone together and to focus on the details and the penalties and everything else, there are so many other distractions. So the question becomes, exactly, Spike, how do we get around those other distractions? How do we stop them from happening so that we can get back to playing football, mm-hmm. playing good football? Mm-hmm. I mean, and look, Nick is still in the Super Bowl era. Nick is the third highest winning coach in the Super Bowl era right now.
Yep.
And that's kind of incontrovertible. Like,
well, but Kimberly, yeah, what if I tell you that and you're not talking to a Jalen guy, but what if I tell you Jalen's winning percentage as a quarterback is the same as Nick's percentage as a head coach?
Is it?
Yes.
Well, it's a little lower. It's a little lower.
Okay,
started the four games at the end of 2020.
Right.
But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Got him. No, yeah. Checkmate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you. I'm just saying, again, not calling for his head, just confidence shaken. Give us somebody who was big in the 90s.
So, Sandra Bullock is one of my favorites. She's in, like, Speed and The Net. Speed, not my favorite, but The Net, While You Were Sleeping.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Hope Floats, The Time to Kill. She was in a ton of stuff in the 90s.
Oh, Time to Kill.
I forgot about The Net. Now, Speed was big. The Net, and she was a big, thank you for the call.
I remember The Net.
Yeah, The Net was.
And was she Miss Congeniality?
Yes.
I believe
she was.
That was
90s.
Yes.
Now, Blindside's probably her biggest movie.
But that was not the 90s.
I know.
Yeah.
I was going to make the case. She's actually bigger.
I would say Speed's probably her biggest movie.
I was going to say biggest. I don't know. Maybe it was. Certainly wasn't the best movie.
Well, Blindside.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think Speed was probably. Speed was a
huge movie.
Was it? You were it, from a. What's the word I'm looking for? It was like a cultural
moment. It was a
cult
movie. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone.
Speed 2 was terrible.
Yes.
Because Keanu Reeves didn't do Speed 2.
Yeah. But Speed was a big flick. That was a big flick.
Yeah.
So Hard Knocks, the first episode of Hard Knocks midseason NFC East was last night. Mm-hmm. I know what my big takeaway was. What was your biggest takeaway from watching it? If anything.
Well, certainly was not enough Eagles shown in this.
Once again, more anti-Philadelphia bias.
Just saying.
Well, we cannot show the Commanders. Who cares about the Commanders?
Yeah. The quarterback's not even playing. Like, that storyline was wasted.
Oh, great. The quarterback coach is going to Stanford. I don't care. The Giants are at least interesting. The Cowboys are interesting. Yes. The Eagles are interesting. You could drop the Commanders.
Yes. So here's what I'll say, and it pains me.
Yeah.
Because it probably was not a good week for Hard Knocks if you're an Eagles fan.
No. Probably a terrible week.
Two
real, losses in one episode.
Real convenient timing by HBO.
Yeah, just saying.
Two losses in that week. Not very good. I'll say it's two things that stood out to me. The Cowboys nonsense may be legit with the magic over them right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but it certainly seems like it's something happening in the locker room and everything else with those guys.
Yep.
I agree. I felt that through watching it. Secondly, I like the one thing I wanted to know about was that Bears game and what happened with the communication there with Devontae and Jalen. And not so much that I had an inclination of what I thought happened there. It certainly was a mix-up. But what I wanted to know was, what type of communication did you guys have after the play? Did you talk through the play? Did you discuss what he thought, what you thought? And so to see that, I like that.
Here is that conversation on the sideline.
What you think?
I thought you, when I pointed like this, that's my fault. I thought you were going to.
I thought you was going to settle down more.
I think that's what we talked about.
It's a play I got to make. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Here we go. We'll finish the next one. That's a play I make.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So, fair to note, Devontae walked up to Jalen. I just want to make a note of that. And it was good to see them talk about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jalen, for what it's worth, the complaint for me, I don't think anybody, has ever been that he doesn't take accountability.
Mm-hmm.
That he is one guy that specifically, I think he does, Saquon does, the offensive linemen do. He says every week, almost to a, we've mentioned sort of almost Andy Reid-ish, in that he puts everything on himself almost every week in press conferences.
But I wanted to know.
What happened?
Yeah, because here's the thing. The overthrow with AJ in the Denver game, and AJ saying they didn't talk after the play.
Yep.
That's disturbing to me. Like that type of stuff is disturbing to me. And so I wonder, and you brought up Devontae going over to Jalen. I'm good with that because I think Jalen doesn't know, can he enter people's safe space? These guys don't jive with me right now.
Sure.
If I go up to one of them,
am I going to get a weird look?
Yeah, like
look
what's
like
going to happen
idiot.
There? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was good to see Devontae came over to find out
I agree.
What he was thinking on that play, and they talked that out. So that was at least, I don't think that's going to cure all, but at least from that standpoint, I'm saying, okay, there's a little bit of communication there as opposed to no one is talking to each other after these plays.
Yeah, I wish they knew what they were going to do, but I agree. I'm glad they had the conversation.
Well, just from those two, it seemed like Devontae was under the impression that we talked about if we get this,
I'm doing
do this.
That. Yes.
Yes, we talked about that already.
And Jalen did say my
bad. And Jalen did what the instinctual thing was, let me get it out quick. You normally would hitch up right there. But y'all clearly had already talked about an improvised move there. And Jalen wasn't on the same page. And that's where Jalen was like, you know what? You're right. Yeah, that's on me.
The first thing you said was my biggest takeaway is, oh, man, it looks like Cowboys are having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like the celebration on Thanksgiving in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, in the Eagles game, Dak screaming on the sidelines to everyone, hyping everybody up. And then in the locker room.
When they were down 21-0.
When they're down 21-0.
He was still telling them, hang in there.
Yeah.
This team can't bleep with us. Like,
yes.
He still was saying that. And they were down 21-0.
And that has Dak. I've always gotten the sense generally that the locker room is a Dak locker
room. I think, I agree.
But seeing
besides maybe Trayvon Diggs.
Yes, right. Yeah. but the locker room afterwards, after the Thanksgiving game,
they came in. How about Jerry
taking a bite of it?
That was different.
That was a moment.
Even the coach looked like he was having a good time.
He's
smiling. He doesn't
look a little lovable idiot.
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer.
Did you feel the same way watching it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I agree. Now, listen, the Eagles better be careful here because the Eagles control their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Cowboys can win out and still need a little help.
Yep.
But they believe now.
Yes.
And
you can tell.
Yeah, they're riding a little wave, and they're like, listen, if we just get in, nobody wants to play us.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, if you continue to falter the way that you are, yeah, they're on your heels. They're there. Like that's real.
And
real.
It was a tie. We were laughing at it at the time. They put 40 up on Green Bay.
Yeah.
The Cowboys.
Well, that offense is
legit.
I mean, yeah, that offense is legit. They number two, they may be number one now.
Yeah.
In scoring. Yeah.
Watching it, that was my big. And also, to the opposite side, it just looks like Nick looks exhausted. I mean, we look at Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer looks laid back.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they painted it that way. They can construct it any way they want.
But I saw it too. Yeah. And then, like, Nick is a little tired. Yeah.
Tight and tired is the way.
Yeah, you know, I would agree.
You know, and for a team that doesn't pay attention to the outside noise, the first thing we hear is Nick and BG talking about
the
sky falling.
We don't have the BG thing? Oh, man.
When the sky's falling?
Yeah.
And he's like, don't pay attention to it. Don't pay attention to it. Ignore it. I don't know. It was, and also the other thing, my other big takeaway was, this is an hour-long show. The reason I've never watched Hard Knocks before, I think, you know, looking back on it, I probably watched a little bit of the Jets one because it was in New York at the time. But the reason I don't watch Hard Knocks is because I generally don't care about like the other teams. You know, I'll listen about them and I'll read about them for the show. But for like in my normal life, in program director life, I don't care.
I agree.
So I'm watching it last night and I'm like, well, I only care about the Eagles. And there's only like 9 minutes of Eagles in
the
show.
It's been 5 minutes with the Giants with Jackson Dart and Ty Johnson trying to figure out where Long Island was. I mean, the Atlantic Ocean was.
Yeah. My producer brain was like, get off it. Get off it. We get it. They don't know where the freaking ocean is. It reminded me of Jared Goff talking about where's the sunrise.
That's exactly what I thought about. Yeah.
Oh, is that another?
It
was
first, with the Rams, he did the whole.
He doesn't know where the sun rises.
Sets and where it rises. Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, hold on. Let me try. No, let Fritz go.
Yeah.
Rises in the east, sets in the west.
There you go.
So, one more thing.
From here, I don't.
Yeah. My question is, which way is east and which way is west?
From right here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, how am I supposed to know that?
It's easy.
Why?
What do you mean, why? You should know where east, west, north, south is at all times.
Why?
What do you mean, why? It's easy. Come on. Wait, how about this? Can I help you with it?
Just don't point up for north.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'll help you with it. Which way is New Jersey?
East.
Okay, but from here?
Where you are.
Point to where New Jersey.
Why are you pointing over there?
Yeah, it's this way. Okay.
I'm thinking you get out there.
Okay, so the sun rises over here because this is east. So which way is west if this way is east?
It is that way.
Oh, there you go. And here's how you can figure it out. You see 76 is out there.
Yeah.
That way goes the King of Prussia.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Yeah.
That's west.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So which way is north?
Hold on.
There you go.
My mom was like, you really sound dumb on the radio, you know? She was like, I don't know why you like being the butt of everyone's jokes. She said, I thought I raised you better than this. And I was like, I told one story about the funeral procession. And
then she found out about it.
I was just like, you know, why do you like to sound so dumb? I'm like, that's, you know.
You're embarrassing the family.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Whatever. I said, Mom, we're just making radio.
Yeah. You're gainfully employed. You have a family. Man. Who cares how dumb you are?
That's awesome.
I just like, how are you supposed
to. Well, Mom cares.
I know. Well, yeah. Because I'm like a.
She has friends. You're a big deal, man. So everybody knows you're on the radio.
I know. And it feels like every time I do something dumb, she views it as an indictment of her parenting.
Family?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll do with you for North
Poor
South.
Jill. I wonder how Jill feels.
Well, Jill, yesterday, she wanted me to point out that she was telling me to stay close to the cars in front, and I wasn't
of course
listening.
She was.
Yeah.
She wanted to make sure she wasn't complicit to what
she
you were
She does not
doing.
Want to be.
Yes.
Everyone's trying to separate themselves from the Titanic.
She's going to change her last name back to her maiden name.
Yeah, the maiden name. Yeah.
Here's it. I tried to teach my wife this once. She rolled her eyes at me for north, south, east, west, Jack. Just think about where the river is. The river is east. Where Jersey is. Just always point to Jersey. If you can find Jersey.
That's true.
Yeah, but I'm not like hiking. Who cares? I mean, I don't need to go east, south, east. Who cares? Whatever.
Well, what if the GPS doesn't work and somebody's like, hey, go west on this street?
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? I'm screwed. If the GPS doesn't work, I'm driving in a circle. I mean, what are you kidding me? No one's getting anywhere if the GPS is good. You guys grew up in a map era.
I might be with him on this one. Without the GPS, I'm screwed. I'm not driving in a circle, though.
215-592-9494. The real Corey. You're on WIP. What's up, real Corey?
Oh, man.
First things first, Jack. That's hilarious. I can't get anywhere without a GPS either, so I can't knock him from that. Real recognize real, and Corey from Columbus does not look familiar.
I like that. Corey from Columbus.
You like that, right?
Yeah, I like that.
My confidence in Nick is definitely wavering. To have two collapses like this in the past 3 years, you're the identity guy. You're the one that's supposed to be able to figure out what our identity is. And clearly, each week we're going into, oh, there's a process. We're looking at every detail. But things look the same. So who does that fall on? It's got to fall on him ultimately. And, Spike, I agree with you. Like, if you're going to have this rotating door of offensive coordinators, your head coach needs to be the guy that can call plays, that doesn't really necessarily need an offensive coordinator, so we have a consistent ear, a consistent voice in Jalen's ear. And I just wanted to get Ike's perspective on his alma mater's hire.
On what?
On his head coaching hire for his alma mater.
Pat Fitzgerald, yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm good with that. I'm good with the hire. He's a Big Ten guy. You know, he knows the Midwest. We hired a guy from who coached Oregon State. Hold on. See how they did me, Corey? All right. I'll take the cues. I like the hire, Corey.
Well, it's doing better than Penn State's hire. I mean, he's certainly a better hire than that.
When your top candidate right now is Brian Daboll, you know you have a problem.
Yeah. Like, Corey set me up for that, man.
Yeah, he did. He did. I could see Jack looking for the music as soon as Corey started asking the question. Corey, for next question, give us who was big in the 90s.
So I went with TV. I said Jennifer Aniston, obviously a friend, and then had her own haircut, and obviously wasn't too bad to look at either.
Yeah. The haircut got real big because of Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. The Rachel from Friends haircut. Oh, absolutely.
She's probably bigger in the 90s than the 2000s, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because her run has continued.
Her run? Yes. Oh, yeah. She's continued to act, for sure.
She's
still around. Yeah.
Well, I mean, what was it, the breakup?
Oh, yeah.
Breakup was a good movie with Vince
Vaughn.
Yeah.
What's the one where she was the evil dentist?
I didn't see that.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Here we go.
No, I know.
Yeah.
No, I know.
She's good in that.
She was also in the We're the Millers. We Are the Millers.
She was an evil dentist?
She was an evil dentist. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good flick.
Jason Sudeikis was in it.
Yes,
right?
It was. Yeah. We're the Millers is one of those movies that is on cable so often that I've never watched it on purpose.
Oh, it's always on TNT.
Yeah, I think it's...
Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses is the one. Yeah. Right. Because they were trying to kill her. Right? I think they were trying to kill her.
They were trying to kill all their bosses.
They were trying to kill all their bosses. Right, yeah.
Never seen an episode of Friends.
Me either.
You've never seen one episode
of Friends?
Never seen one episode of Friends.
With as much as it was on syndication.
Nope.
How I Met Your Mother's better?
Now, I've seen
No,
clips
I've never
of
seen
it.
How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. Which it's the same show.
That?
Yeah.
It's the same show. It's just...
No, which one? How I Met Your Mother? Who's in that?
Doogie Howser's in that one, right? Neil Patrick Harris.
Okay. Jason Segel.
Yeah, never seen that.
Mike worked on that show.
Those are 90s shows.
No, How I Met Your Mother was 2000.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Friends is a 90s, right?
Friends is 90s.
That was more Martin and...
Oh, yeah.
Fox was big in the 90s. That's why, I mean...
Fox was very big.
The Fox shows became big in the 90s.
I'm just amazed that you wouldn't have seen it, accidentally.
I've seen it, but I've never sat and watched an episode of Friends.
The thing, now Val knows every episode from front to back. I told
Seinfeld
her,
either.
Yeah, I know. Now, I knew Seinfeld. I told Val once she should write a coffee table book about Friends because she knows every episode front to back, just like she knows The Office.
Yeah.
Friends has, I feel like people have been unfair to Friends as it's aged. People have gotten mean about Friends. Friends was a good show. I know you guys didn't watch it. It was a good show.
Well, they were the ones who got the $1 million episode,
yes,
right?
That's how
I knew about Friends. Yep. That was the first time I was like, $1 million episode.
Yep. Now, which was bigger, Seinfeld or Friends?
I mean, it's fair to note that Friends was in part big because it was on after Seinfeld. So they gave it that launching pad. Yes.
Man,
Thursday night.
That was a killer night.
Yeah, Thursday night on NBC.
Also, they replaced Cosby's with that. They went through the 80s with that and then had Friends and Seinfeld.
Quite a run.
Wow.
Quite a run. Yeah.
And then into The Office. I mean, The Office is NBC.
Office huge, too. I mean, those are the biggest sitcoms of my life are Seinfeld, Friends, and The Office.
Wow.
All right. 215-592-9494. Coming up next, and today's show sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Oh, yes. Check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. Coming up next... I never thought it was possible, but Cole Hamels in the Hall of Fame is actually a realistic thing that could happen. We'll find out how next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, let's talk about my friends at Mark's Jewelers. The holidays are almost here, and that means engagement season. At Mark's Jewelers, they've seen it all, from nervous proposals, happy tears, and even lifelong memories. And that's why the team at Mark's Jewelers, they love what they do. At Mark's, every piece of jewelry they sell becomes part of someone's story. Celebrating real people and real love is what Mark's is all about. Visit Mark's Jewelers today at their Mount Laurel, New Jersey, or Montgomeryville, PA location, or you can check them out online at marks-jewelers.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.